change it.
It's change.
Well, all we have a pretty full library today. That's a good thing. We do have a few sick. We're glad that our guests are here. We have some visitors with us, and glad you've chosen to come here and worship with us on this board today. We ask you to, anytime you're in the area, please come worship with us. If we move, we'll let you know on our website. Members on our sick list, currently, my wife Janet is not here. She's not feeling well. Keith is not here with Cooper. He woke up sick this morning. Also, we want to remember Warren having some health issues. Keep him in our prayers. Sandy Yeager has given me a card. I put it back here on the table just to thank us for the prayers on behalf of her illness when she was sick, and also her husband Bob's illness and his surgery. So I want to take a look at the card on the table there and just read that. Also, Andrew and Charlotte are not here yet. I was told that they hopefully would be here, that they're Tabitha in the hospital still, and they're trying to make sure everything's well with her before they come here, but hopefully they'll be here also. So let's keep all these members in our prayers. You know, we all have a responsibility to pray for each other and let each other know when we have cares and concerns, that we can help each other out. We want to do that every chance that we have. There's no one out of town yet. I'll be out of town this afternoon. I won't be here and be gone to California for the rest of the week. Wednesday invitation, TJ is down for the Wednesday invitation. We don't have any building cleaning for this week. We want to remember our radio show. Dan is on the radio show at 2 o'clock with Chuck, so if you have an opportunity to tune in to AM 1300 to listen to that, 2 o'clock. Also, want to pray for the TV show also that we have, and the correspondence courses, the bulletins that we're mailing out, all those efforts we talked about in our Bible class today. And trying to get across the edification, you know, the good that we feel, the responsibility that we have to help reach the lost by these different efforts that we're making, and the monies that we give today that can go out to help those kind of efforts. So we want to keep those things in mind and pray for those efforts. We just met at 9 o'clock this morning, so everyone moved their clocks ahead 1 hour. That's a good thing. We're all here. We meet at 10 o'clock now, and then 4 o'clock we'll come back this afternoon. So if you have an opportunity to come back this afternoon at 4 o'clock, please come to worship with us. And also Wednesday at 7 p.m. we meet for our Bible study. So if you have an opportunity for Wednesday night, come out and meet with us also. The order of worship services for this morning, at the appropriate time, we'll ask Brother Dave Dickerson if he would to lead us in an opening prayer. Communion will be had this morning by Brother Tony Barron, and he'll be assisted by James. Song leader this morning is Aaron. He selected song number 71. Go ahead and take your songbooks out and turn to song 71. Chuck will be preaching for us this morning. We look forward to his lesson. And at the close of service, we'll ask Brother Mark Kaysen if he would to word our closing prayer for us. Well, those are all the announcements I have at this time. If you have anything that wasn't mentioned that you'd like to have mentioned, please let me know at the end of services, and we'll get that announced this afternoon. So song number 71.
Sing all three verses.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Earthly submission, earthly delight, visions of rapture, the first on my side. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Earth is a mission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Four hundred and nineteen. Lord, we come before Thee now. After this song will be led in prayer by Brother Dave.
Lord, we come before Thee now. At Thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our shall we seek Thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on Thee our souls depend. In compassion now Thee send. Fill our hearts with Thy rich grace. Tune our lips to sing Thy praise. Tune our lips to sing Thy praise. In Thine own appointed way, now we seek Thee, here we stay. Lord, we know not how to go, till till the blessing Thou bestow. Grant that all may seek and find Thee, a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in Thee. Let us all rejoice in Thee.
Let us bow. Our dear and most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to You for this day that You've given us, another day to serve Thee. And we come together on this first day of the week, dear Father, to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus and the suffering and pain and agony that He went through in our behalf. What love, such wonderful love that He has for us, that He would go through and pay that ultimate sacrifice that He went through. We're thankful for His example, dear Father, the perfect life that He led. To all the temptations that He came His way, where He could have sinned, yet He remained faithful unto Thee. And we too, dear Father, want to be the kind of examples that You would have us to be. We pray that You would keep on purging us from those things that we might remain strong through temptations that come our way, and our faith might be strengthened, dear Father, as a result. We pray for those, dear Father, that have not yet obeyed thee. Each and every one of us have loved ones, I am sure, that we pray for and hope that someday something will be said or done that they might turn to thee whilst you're yet time. We pray, dear Father, for our efforts to reach the lost through the different avenues and tools that we have that we use, dear Father, and the bulletins that go out, and the correspondence courses, dear Father, and the TV and the radio program. We pray that as we keep on watering and planting, that some soul might be touched and turned to thee. I pray for our elders, dear Father, that they have such responsibilities, and we pray that we will hold them in high esteem for work for their loves and love for their work's sake, and their desire that they have to serve thee and to guide us, dear Father, to equip the better equipment of the saints. We pray for those, dear Father, that are sick and afflicted, unable to be with us, and we pray for the baby, Tabitha, that she will have a recovery and be able to be with her mother and father in the very near future. They might be all be able to be together. We're thankful, dear Father, for the word that we have studied this morning, and we pray that we will kept your hearts and minds open to it and glean from it, be able to become better and stronger Christians, dear Father, more so than in the past. Pray for our speaker here this morning, dear Father, that he had a ready recollection of things he's prepared, and we want to keep our hearts and our minds open to it. And forgive us, dear Father, when we have sinned and fallen short. In Jesus' dear name, amen.
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 Number 735. What a Savior. 735. After this song, we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Sing all three verses.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched to heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. He left the Father with all his riches, with calmness sweet and serene. Came down from heaven, the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. Crossing, his hand will lead me
Opportunity to gather around the table with Lord's Day morning to take the unleavened bread through the vine. We have the opportunity to sit back and reflect upon that day upon the cross when Christ gave his life. It was something he did for us. It was the greatest charity anyone will ever do for us. We will never be able to, you know, understand the sacrifice that was made for us on that cross. Let's read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table this Lord's Day morning, we are indeed thankful for the sacrifice that was made on the cross on our behalf. We're thankful for your Son, our Savior. We pray as we partake this unleavened bread and communion to our Son's body that hung upon that cross, that we will partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you for the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary on our behalf. We are thankful for the opportunity to partake of this fruit of the vine and communion of thy Son's blood that was shed upon that cross for us. We pray as we partake of it that we will reflect back upon that scene and think of the sacrifice that was made, and that we will partake of it in a manner well pleasing to thee. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
concludes the Lord's Supper this morning. Now we have an opportunity to take that portion which we prospered through the week that we have set aside for the park there at River Ridge. For our guests, you are honored guests. We are not soliciting your funds. However, if you'd like to give at this time, well, that's the time to do that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity here upon your earth, the opportunity to work, that we were able to prosper through the week, that we can lay by in store, that the work here at River Ridge can continue. We pray for the work that is happening here. We pray that much good will come from it. We pray that we take these funds and use it for the work to better your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Already done so. Number 595 will be what we call the song of invitation. And after the lesson, stand up for Jesus. And that's a good song to be singing as we think about the invitation, God's invitation, and are we standing for Jesus in our life? And then before that, number 841, before the lesson, Sing and Be Happy, as this was a song that was requested, and so we'll sing that. You please, if it's convenient for you, stand while we sing this song. And in the song, it discusses about faith and how we're to look to Jesus and the promises that are afforded to us if we remain faithful to God, to Jesus Christ, and that there are times in our life where we're troubled and we're tired, and we have a choice. Are we going to sing and be happy because we're being faithful to God, or are we going to be in misery? So hopefully we'll be singing and be happy as we're faithful to God to the end. All three verses of this song, Sing and Be Happy, 841.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see, my friend, trust His promises grand. Sing and be happy, happy, press on to the goal. Trust Him. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, less than earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what tomorrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can. happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust in each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing
and we'll be happy,
press along to the goal. Trust in Him
who leads
you, He
will
keep your soul. Let
the world know where
be faithful, look to Jesus, Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Good to see you all out this morning. Hope everybody is truly happy as we sang. And of course, there are times when you can sing and be happy and think you're okay. We want to make sure you are. You know, that's one of the great blessings we have as a child of God, of having that blessed hope. Peter spoke about having a lively hope. You know, I don't do this every week, but every once in a while, when I get ahead on a few lessons that have been in my mind, and I put them together, and I'll bring them, and I'll decide, well, okay, you got three lessons, which one are you going to pray for? And I'll just get a feel for comments that have been made, maybe around the table, maybe our song service contribute to that, and just a lot of different factors, and it made it easy this morning. I got thinking about Matthew chapter 16 today, and I want you guys to be thinking about this, those who are Christians and those who are not. And if you're not, again, this is a lesson for all of us, one, to be reminded of what we have, and one of what we could have. And I just really like the way the Lord put it here. In verse 24 of Matthew 16, he put it this way: Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is it a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The reason I really like this text is because it helps us to value, or at least try to get us to value, our soul. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? It's telling us here, folks, that you are of value to God. And not only that, I thought it was rather interesting, and I don't know why it popped into my head early this morning, but this is telling us here that even for somebody that's not faithful, has no hope in this world right now because they have not come to God, they have not obeyed Him, there's still a value. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? So let's say we have a person who gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul. He's telling him that person, with all their wealth, I mean, you can only imagine the wealth of the whole world, his soul was worth more than that. And yet he's going to miss heaven because of that. By not putting God first, not obeying Him. Wait, what do you mean, Chuck? I mean, are you trying to tell me that they have value? Well, yes. It's probably a poor example, but it would be kind of like finding out if my mom told me, and she called me up, she said, you know that coin I gave you 30 years ago? I go, well, yeah, Ma, I kind of remember. And I told you, hold on to it and don't ever lose it. I kind of remember that. Well, I did some checking. That thing is now worth $1.5 million. Where is it? I don't know. I don't know. It's lost. Okay. That coin is lost. What's its value? $1.5 million. Oh, well, you still have the value. Well, yeah, but it's lost. It's of no use. And see, I want us to see that it still has its value, but I'm not able to use it. Maybe she wants it back and she's not able to use it. But the point is, it has its value. You have value, I have value. Your soul is worth that much. whether you're right with God or you're not, but the point is, you need to be right with the Lord. That is the key. Now, I'm thinking of something we were talking about in our evangelism study this morning, of Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why every creature? Because every creature is valuable. Every soul is valuable. Basically, if I had to put a title for the lesson this morning, is why are you so special? Why you? Me. Why? Why? We know the value of our soul. But I want us to think about that. So why are you so special? And of course, and I'm thinking, okay, if not you, then who? If you sit there and say, Chuck, why am I so special? Ask me that question. Not out loud, but to yourself. Chuck, what makes me so special? And then I would say to you, I'd say, well, if not you, then who? And you'd say, well, that person. What person? That person. Wait a second. Do we understand what Jesus was talking about here in Romans chapter 5, although we've read it a few times, and especially when we're around the table? Is there somebody more deserving of heaven? Is somebody more deserving of God's love? So when I say you're special to God and you say, why me? I really want you to think about the response that I would give to you by saying, who then? Is there somebody more deserving than you? You need to obey the gospel. You who have obeyed the gospel need to continue to remain faithful to God. You are special to God. Who, me? Yeah, you. Now this phrase, I'm looking at a particular phrase here in this Romans chapter 5 passage. Look at verse 6. Listen to this. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died, here it is, for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Now he says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he talks about, he died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. I want to think about that for a moment. Since Jesus died for everyone, John 3:16, everybody knows that one, right? For God so loved the world. So since he loves the world, he died for the world. So everybody's a sinner. Everybody's ungodly. Those who are old enough to know, remember that's a different lesson, children, their innocence, their purity. That's a great lesson. I love talking about that. Love talking about children. But think about that. Since Jesus died for everybody, that means all people were ungodly. Jesus died for the ungodly. Well, wait a second. Think about it. Chuck, you mean to tell me here's a mom, a single mom over here. Single mom. The dad just up and left her with three little kids. She's working two jobs to try to look after those three little kids and raise them. Are you trying to tell me she's ungodly? Folks. Everybody. Romans 3:23 is the wages, but 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when I say that you're special, you know, and the Lord loves you, you say, why, who, me? Why me? Why who? Then who else? Of course you. There's nobody here that stands out amongst the rest of you as saying, well, that person is more deserving of God's grace, more deserving of the love of God and him sending his son and demonstrating his love. This person's more deserving. There's not a person here that can stand up and say, well, I'm more deserving. No way. Not a person here. Because we get this. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That was for everybody. Your soul is that valuable. My soul is that valuable. And you and I need to understand that there is not a person here, and Tony touched on that. There's not a person here that can earn their salvation. I don't care how godly you become. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. You guys know Ephesians chapter 2. I like it because when he talks about that it's not of ourselves. I mean, when he mentions in verse 8, that it's like by grace you have been saved. The grace of God. We just read about it. God demonstrated his love. There's the grace. We didn't deserve that. If he said he died for the ungodly, he died for the sinner. What did they do for him to deserve that? Nothing. I don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve salvation. But you are special to the Lord. Why me? Well, why not you? Preach to everybody. We want everybody saved. But it says right here in verse 8, you've been saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You cannot earn your salvation. You can't separate faith and works. People try to do that. People want the faith only. And then people want the works only. And that's what James chapter 2 is all about. Okay, you study that reason. Faith and works go together. And we are to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. But we're getting back to this point. Remember, what's the lesson today? Why are you so special? But remember, no matter what happens when you leave here today, saved or not, you have that value, like that coin. Lost or found, it's that valuable. But if you're not going to be faithful to the Lord, it's not going to help you. But you cannot deny the value. And you might feel lowly. You might feel unimportant. You might feel like I don't deserve salvation. You might, I get that. I can understand that. But that's no excuse for not obeying him. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But notice it right here, though. You're saved by grace through faith. And so when I'm thinking about Luke chapter 16, where I use the example of the single mom and the hardships that she would be going through. I'm not belittling that. I'm not belittling the good things that we could praise her about. Good for you hanging in there. Good for you being a worker and trying to help these kids and give them direction. There are lots of stories like that, and we could even reverse it. Where the man is there and with the three kids. But, you know, there's just all kinds of stories that are out there where people, you know, you can say, good for you, you know, that you haven't given up. But the point is, we're talking about salvation here, folks. We've all faced hardships, but I'm thinking about this guy. Over in Luke chapter 16. Now, you know about the rich man and Lazarus. I'm not going to read the whole story. But what I will talk about here, he says in verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. This poor man. Was he in comfort because he was poor? No. We've discussed that in other lessons. He's not there because he's poor. The rich man is not suffering because he's rich. We're talking about two individuals here. One who did not turn to the Lord and one who did. And so this person here, as far as hardships, and again, we can come up with all kinds of illustrations of hardships. They all have value. Both of these men had value. But this person's value was not because he was poor, it was because he was faithful to God. Folks, I want you to be. I want not only want you to be faithful to the Lord, I want you to remain faithful to the Lord. Aaron mentioned it. The moment. That's what it's all about. Staying strong to the very end, in which the songs that we were singing about. Sing and be happy. We have a lot to be happy about. Now I think about, you know, Lazarus, why he was there, but then I was thinking about Lydia in Acts 16. Would you call her ungodly? This ungodly woman? Would you really do that? Paul's going to go down to the river and there see these women are praying and they're gathering together and they're studying. You know, what a bunch of ungodly people. Would you really say that? Well, let's read it. I want you to follow along and we're going to begin reading in verse 11 of Acts 16. They were sailing from Troas, who ran straight course toward Samothrace. And the next gate came to Neapolis. From there to Philippi, which is the foremost city in the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside where prayer was accustomedly made. And we sat down there and spoke to the woman who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Now, notice verse 15. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she constrained us. Now, listen. When Paul preached her, who's she going to preach? She's going to preach Jesus. What did we preach about Jesus? Jesus came. Jesus died for who? The ungodly. He died for the sinner. Here's a woman who's gathered together to pray. Wait a second. Why was she baptized, folks? You know why she was baptized? Because she was a sinner. She was ungodly. Now, that doesn't mean that she didn't have some nice traits. But you know, when you look at somebody and say, now there's a godly individual. I'll tell you this much. You're not going to attribute that attribute of godliness to somebody who's not a Christian. You can't do it. You can't. But it's hard for us, though, isn't it? It's hard for us to look at that and say, well, I'm not going to call that person ungodly. You want to know ungodly people? I have seen some ungodly people. So I'll tell you, there's an ungodly person over there. You know, they've arrested a lot of ungodly people. But how could you call her ungodly? This, you know, the single mom and whatnot. Folks, we're not going to appreciate what Jesus has done for us until we understand the value of our soul and what sin does to that. When you transgress, you put yourself in the state of the lost coin. Yes, you have all that value. As we read earlier in Matthew chapter 16, you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul. You've gained it all. Okay, fine. But your soul is worth more than that. You haven't lost your value, but you're going to lose your soul. And so this is why you are so special in the eyes of God. This is why you heard everybody stand up today and they were singing and they were happy. We were happy. And we're glad to be Christians because we recognize the grace that has been given to us. Not something that we deserve. But no one gets baptized. Get this. You turn to Romans 6. Nobody is going to be baptized to show they're godly. Unfortunately, in my past, I did. And I found out that I only got one. No, you can go over to Acts chapter 19 and read the first 5 verses to find other people who just got wet too. And then Paul told them that, no, you have to do it properly. You see, in Romans chapter 6, it describes here that you don't get baptized to show everybody how godly you are. You get baptized because you're ungodly and you want to become godly. You want to put off the old man, you put on the new man. That's not my words, that's the Lord's. Look what we have here. Paul writing by inspiration. You know verse 3, do you not know as many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Okay, we know why we're baptized. Okay. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in what? A new life. Newness of life. If we've been united together in the likeness of the death, we shall certainly be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now notice verse 6, and I'll slow down. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Lydia, that the body of sin might be done away with. Her and her household were baptized after hearing the message about Christ. You needed to be baptized into his death, Lydia. You can put off the old man. Put on the new man. That's what he's talking about right here. That we should no longer be what? Slaves of sin. He who has died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So, guess what? What do we have here? We have a soul that's worth more than the whole world over here before baptism. Let's use the pulpit as the baptistry, okay? Soul, right here, worth more than the whole world. Over here, not a thing changed. We still have a soul that's worth more than the whole world. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference is, this one, who has been baptized into Christ now, has that blessed hope. Now that value is of use to the Lord. We are useful in the kingdom of God. We have been called to serve Him. I quoted earlier from Matthew chapter 5, that we let our light shine, that we can help people see the good works that are within us so they can glorify our Father which is in heaven. We want to lead people to the Lord. Now, if I'm over here and I'm of value, okay, and I do a lot of good stuff, what am I doing? I'm just teaching people to be good people. I want people to be a Christian. Are there similarities? Can there be some similarities between these two people? The Lydia before and the Lydia after? I'm sure there was a lot of similar qualities. You know, I've seen a lot of people, even here. You know, when Kevin was baptized, he came out and goes, wow, all of a sudden he loved Samantha. No, he loved her before. Right? Okay. He's like, well, now he's nice to me. Well, he was nice to me before. See, there's just a lot of differences there, but there's a lot of similarities. The big difference is, as we're talking about, is that Jesus Christ came and died for the ungodly. And if we don't view these people with such value, if I don't view myself, if I'm not obedient to the gospel yet, if I don't view myself as ungodly, as a sinner, where's my motivation to get over there? I don't have any motivation to get over there because I'm a good person. Look, everybody needs the love of Christ. That the desire to be right with Him, have our sins washed away. Because no matter who you talk about on this side, and I know some people will go, who, me? I'm special? What about them? We all sin. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. So even that mom, and I don't want to pick on a single mom. They have it hard, right? That would be terrible to be in that situation where the husband leaves and she's left holding the bag and looking after the three kids and having to work these jobs. It's just really, really difficult. It might be hard to say that, you know what, she's in sin. Well, we all are. I'm picking on me. Everybody needs Christ. We need His help. Now, this idea of putting off ungodliness is the key. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's something interesting here that I have to be mindful of. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Here it is. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now here's a lesson for those of us who are Christians. We're over here. But it's easy to have a form of godliness. We're not God. Well, why not? I've been baptized. I tell people, I've been baptized. Well, that's cool. I hope you were properly. Sometimes people just get wet. They never were. There's a lot of people on this side, folks, who said they've been baptized and immersed in water, but they've never done this. That this is a baptistry, okay? And you do it properly. They've never... See, well, how's that possible? Well, that's like I mentioned a moment ago from Acts chapter 19. There are people who have to have a proper understanding. So when I was baptized in a religious group years ago, I was baptized... I think there's some other shit that went through the same thing. But I remember when we got together, they said, Chuck, we're not going to baptize you with everybody here to show everybody that you're already a Christian. Oh, so I'm going to demonstrate my godliness because I'm godly now. So let's go ahead and baptize me and show everybody how godly I am. That's basically what we did. And then I found out later that, no, that's not why you get it. And so I realized I was still over here, so to speak. Now, that form of godliness... That's what he's talking about here. Perilous times will come. To become what? Well, what's that? That's, I don't know. That's pretty terrible things there. I don't know if I fall into that category, right? I mean, lovers of money, boaster, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Yeah, but what about some of these other things he talks about there? Just being headstrong or haughty. Jesus never sinned. Dave mentioned in his prayer, all the temptations Jesus ever faced, he never sinned. How about you? Did you ever think the wrong thing? Did you ever say the wrong thing? Did you ever do the wrong thing? Did you ever not do something you should have done? I've talked about this before. How easy is it to sin? How easy is it to sin? I mean, instantly. You can do it right now. But just think the wrong thing. It's so easy to transgress. And yet Jesus never did. Not even once. Not once. Imagine being with somebody that's perfect. That is our example. The day he mentioned his prayer, we're to follow his footsteps, follow his examples. But you know what? You're not going to do that until you put on Christ. Galatians says. There has to be a beginning point. When was that beginning point? When you were born again. When you put off ungodliness and you put on godliness and you're trying to live holy and righteously in this world. That's what he's talking about right here. Not to have that form. Now here's the comfort that we have. In 2 Peter chapter 1. How many times have we quoted this? 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things. Here it is. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Come back to this text in a few minutes. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Are you a godly person? Hope so. You're a Christian. You're godly, right? You're godly. You're godlike. You want to be holy. I mean, you don't want to walk out here and say, godliness, that's hardly something that describes me. Well, then we better do something about that, folks. Okay? Because he's given us everything that pertains to that. And I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But let's back up to Titus quickly. And then I'm going to come right back to Peter. And we're almost finished. We've been very patient this morning. Time is flying by. But let's just quickly get over to Titus chapter 2. Listen to this. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Here's what Paul said. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious of appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Man, I could have camped there earlier on. I mean, everything we talked about today, right there in that text, folks. Look at it. So Paul, this is what Paul is telling Titus, that to teach the faithful here how not to be and how to be. And when you deny ungodliness and you live righteously, then you have that blessed hope of the appearing of our Lord. Jesus is coming back. I'm going to talk about that on the radio program. Jesus is coming back. Now, final text, right back to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, godliness doesn't stand alone. Listen, I just read in verse 3, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now listen, we're almost done, almost done. Verse 4, by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You've escaped it. How? You escaped it. You went through the watery graves of baptism, rise up in newness of life. Now what do you do? Lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Here it is. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. Now here he says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and is forgotten. Here it is. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Don't forget that. Yes, you're valuable on either side. But don't forget you've been purged from your sins. And the last verse is verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, that if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You know, Aaron picked a perfect song to close with. Well, and the other one. But stand up for Jesus.